Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to share together, Lord, and to learn, to grow, Lord, to be and do all that you have for us. And Father, we just pray that you have your way in this service tonight. I pray, Father, that you'd help me, Lord, to speak your word. I pray, Father, that you give us ears to hear, Lord, that we're quick to listen, quick to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I have a message for you tonight. It's not a new message. You know what? You need to worry about those new messages. Sometimes we have itching ears. We just want to hear something new. But you know what I found is a lot of the time it is the basic truths of the gospel, is the simple things is where we really miss it. The message that I have for you tonight, I have to tell you, this is not a message that I've never, ever addressed before. In fact, last Wednesday night when I closed out the service, I told you, I gave away my message for tonight. I didn't know it was going to be my message for tonight, but the Lord just put this on my heart. I really believe this is what God has for us. And I'm going to talk to you about telling other people that you prayed for them. Anybody know the three sweetest words in the English language? Anybody? How's that go? I love you. I think that's it. Well, I got the four sweetest words in the English language. I prayed for you. If you want to let somebody know that you really care about them, if you want to express to somebody that you have put some time, effort, and energy in for them, you tell them, I prayed for you. And I just want to encourage you tonight that from the beginning, that this message is not just a little thing. I really believe this message is life-changing, that it's church-changing. That this message can have a far-reaching impact if we just do it. You know, it reminds me of when Naaman needed to be healed of leprosy, and the prophet told him to go and wash in the river, and he didn't want to do it because it seemed like such a silly thing. And his servant said to him, well, if it had asked you to do or told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. And you know what? I think that sometimes we dismiss these simple little things that can be so powerful if we just are faithful to be doers of the word, to do it and not just let it go in one ear and out the other. And I got to say it again. I know that oftentimes people will say, oh, but you shouldn't tell anybody else when you prayed because then you already have your reward. Listen, Jesus was talking about religious pride and people telling or people standing on the street corners to pray, praying publicly so that they could look good before other people. You don't tell somebody that you prayed for them just so you can look good. If you did it for that reason, then you already have a reward. But you tell other people that you prayed for them to encourage them. Do you know there's a lot of people that need encouragement? There's a lot of people that just need some extra prayer support. My wife, she knows how much I struggle with my messages. And so, you know what she always does for me? She prays for me. And she, guess what? 100% of the time, she says, I'm praying for you. And she'll say, I prayed for you. 100% of the time. Now, she's a good example of the message tonight. I'm just telling you that your loved ones, your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, your neighbors, your enemies need you to pray for them. many years ago, my mother used to write me a lot of letters and cards when we were kind of in a difficult place in ministry. And she would always encourage me and say, I'm praying for you. And I know that in this body of believers, I oftentimes, not just my wife, but others say, Pastor, I'm praying for you. But I want you to know that everybody needs that in the body of Christ. We need more of that. We just need to turn it up. You know, the day and the time that we live in and all that's going on in our world, let me tell you what the answer is. We need to pray more. You wonder how you can get your kids through this wicked generation. Pray, pray. I'm not saying that's the only thing, but I'm telling you, you're not going to do it without prayer. Prayer's the key. We desperately need more prayer in the body of Christ. I really think that this is a key issue for the church that, oh, how we need to be praying. A lot of times we see the problems in our world. We see the things that are wrong in other people's lives. Maybe with your children, or maybe with your coworkers, or maybe with your pastor. I'm going to tell you what the answer is. Pray for them. You know, we want the backslider to come home. We want our enemies to repent. We want our spouses to relent. Sometimes it seems like nothing ever changes. We want our kids to do right. We want our leaders to see the light. Well, how do we bring about this change? How do we see people change? Listen, the number one failing method to change somebody else is to talk about them. I said the number one failing method. It's also the most popular method. To gripe and complain, to criticize, to gossip, to say things about people. Guess what? It won't change them. You can gossip about them from now till Jesus comes back, and it won't change them. It sure won't help them. Number one failing method to see your kids change: talk bad about them. Number one failing method to see your spouse change: talk bad about them. Number one failing method to see your brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ change: talk about them. Talk bad about them. Won't work. Number two failing method for getting somebody to change: criticize them. Tell them everything they're doing wrong. Find fault with them. Browbeat them. Nag them. Stay after them day after day after day. Now, some of you really think that works, but you won't get the desired result, I'm telling you. Well, what does work? Prayer works. I'm just telling you, church, we need to believe the Bible. We need to believe what Jesus said. All things are possible to him that believes. Oh, wow. What an open door there is here for us who believe. How we need to avail ourselves more, take advantage more of the opportunity that we have to bring others before the throne of God when we pray. Prayer's what makes the difference. Battles are won or lost because of prayer or the lack of it. Those that are too carnal, too weak, too bound, too sick, too discouraged to fight for themselves, need it the most. When somebody's in disobedience and rebellion, you see somebody that's not serving God and they're going the wrong direction, let me tell you what they need. Somebody to pray for them. Some of you, you're here today in church serving God because somebody prayed for you. And a bunch of you, well, you know it. But I'm telling you, what that backslider, what that rebel needs, they need prayer. Here's a great example of intercessory prayer in Numbers chapter 14. The Lord, beginning with verse 11, beginning from verse 11, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs I have performed among them? I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." But in verse 19, Moses says, "Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." Then the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to your word." How powerful is that? Now, I know that Moses was a very special leader of God's people. I mean, God just told him, he said, "I'm going to wipe them out and I'm going to start over with you." But Moses intercedes for these people that have failed to believe, failed to obey, rebelled against God. And God said, "I have pardoned at your word." I just want you to realize there's great power in prayer. There is this religious attitude, and it is so prevalent amongst a lot of denominations and churches that prayer doesn't really do anything. I'm telling you, prayer is what brings the power of God down here. It's what brings the will of God. See, some people think, oh, no, God's just going to do his will. Where's that in the Bible? Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." 1 John says that whatever things that we ask according to his will, we know that he hears us, and we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. You see, it is such a doctrine of devils to think that prayer doesn't really matter. Prayer matters more than anything else we do in this life. Praying is what makes the difference. We just need to pray more, period. But we need to pray more for other people. And sometimes when we are going through a great battle, it may be hard. It might be difficult for us to understand. But we need to pray for others. And it may be that while you're praying for others, God turns your battle. I think sometimes we get the idea or the attitude that some people are just beyond God's redemption or God's changing power. But I can tell you this, that God has turned around so many who others would have said, "There's no way." How about Saul, a religious zealot full of anger and hatred who persecuted the church? But one day, God got a hold of him. I'm just telling you, there's not anybody that God can't reach if we pray. Did you know if you give up praying for them, it's a sin? If you say, "Well, this ain't doing any good, I'm just not going to pray for them anymore." Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, he told the parable to this end, that men would always pray and never give up. We're never, ever supposed to give up. We're always supposed to pray. Keep praying. Keep praying. Is it a sin when you don't? Yes, it is. It's a sin to know to do good and not do it. But how about this one? 1 Samuel 12:23, Samuel says to these people who are in rebellion against the Lord, he says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord. by ceasing to pray for you. Now, that's probably not a quote that you need to use when you tell other people that you're praying for them. In this instance, it's exactly what needed to be said. But I'm just telling you, that person that you think won't change, don't give up praying for them. Keep praying. Keep believing. Most people spend way more time and energy complaining and griping than they do praying. Doesn't take any more effort to pray. What's the problem there? The Spirit is willing. That's what Jesus told the disciples in the garden when they kept falling asleep when they were supposed to pray. And Jesus said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, I want to tell you, when you find yourself griping and complaining instead of praying, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak when it comes to the things of God. You got to get your old flesh under subjection and pray. Because let me tell you something. People's lives are in the balance. There's too much at stake. We can't afford to be gossiping, complaining, criticizing. Instead, we got to be praying. Paul said in Ephesians 6:18-20, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Even the Apostle Paul, he says, pray for me so that I'll preach it boldly. Pray for me so I'll be a better preacher. So I'm saying tonight, pray for me that I'll be a better preacher. You say, we ain't got much to work with. I'm just telling you, there's no limit with God. He can do anything. If we pray, all things are possible. But you know what? We just need to take from that all of us need prayer. All of us need others to pray for them. From the children of Israel who disobeyed and disbelieved God to the Apostle Paul, everybody needs somebody praying for them, interceding for them on a daily basis. That's what we really need, church. That's what really makes the difference. We can talk about a lot of other ideas, but I'm telling you, when it's all said and done, we need to come back to this simple truth that prayer is what brings God's power into this world. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, that what things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. So many great promises regarding prayer. Oh, if we would just pray more. See lives changed by the power of God. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was put in prison and they planned on killing him. But the church prayed, and an angel of the Lord set him free. I'm just telling you, God can do anything if we pray. If we'll just stand in faith and believe God, all things are possible. In the Apostle Paul's letters, over and over, he tells them, I'm praying for you. I'm making mention of you in my prayer. I bow my knees that he would grant you. He prayed for them over and over, and he told them, I'm praying for you. You know what? We really are in a battle. And how do we fight this battle? Listen, there's a lot of things that we got to do in this world, in this battle. But But the number one thing we do in this battle is pray. It is a spiritual warfare. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. These weird, messed up, bound religious Christians who want to turn it into this angry fight, and they act like the world are doing more harm to the kingdom and the church than good. I'm telling you, instead of being mad and trying to fight with flesh and blood, we need to fight with our true enemy. We need to do warfare against the powers of darkness. We do that by prayer. Remember when James and John got mad one day? They wanted to call down some fire on some Samaritans. Lord, should we call down fire on them? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. Now think about that for just a minute. When the Son of God says, you got the wrong spirit. The right spirit is that we go to God in prayer and that we believe Him to bring about change. We believe Him to step in and do miracles. Praying for others. You know, I mentioned this earlier, but sometimes when you're going through a hard time, it's so hard to be selfless and just to pray for others and not think about yourself. Remember the man Job in the Bible and all that he went through? He lost everything. He was sick as a dog. But he still had his nagging wife who told him to curse God and die. And he still had his three sorry friends who kept telling him what a scuzzball he was over and over and over. But Job's deliverance finally came. Do you know when it came? It's Job 42:10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. When did it happen? The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. That's exactly when it happened, because that's what the Bible says. What if God would restore you? What if God would turn your captivity? What if your healing comes? What if your breakthrough comes when you're praying for somebody else? Those guys weren't really very good friends. And I'm sure that after Job went through all of that, he probably wasn't too eager to pray for them. Except he had had quite the encounter with God. And I'll tell you how we need to pray for people, whether we think they deserve it or not. Makes a difference when you pray. And I want you to understand this. It makes a difference when you encourage people that you have prayed for them. You see, there's a strength that comes. I think sometimes we sense and we can just kind of know that others are praying for us when we're going through a difficult time. But it's also a blessing when they tell you. I read a story about a man in World War II. He was a pilot. He was shot down over the Pacific, and he survived for a while on a small raft with a small amount of food that eventually ran out, and he was about to give up. He just had lost the will to live, but he thought about his parents at home, and he thought, they're praying for me. They're praying for me. And just that knowledge of knowing that his parents would be praying for him gave him the will to keep going until he was rescued. I'm just telling you, you praying for somebody might give them the strength that they need to keep going. Just the knowledge that somebody's praying for me. I think in these last days, we desperately need to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25 in the NIV says, "Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And one of the most encouraging things you can say to somebody is, "I prayed for you." I know sometimes in praying for others, it doesn't get a lot of recognition. It might be thankless, but it always pays off. There's going to be souls in heaven, lives that were changed because somebody prayed. You just think about this. When you feel like prayer doesn't really matter, listen, I know God sends a missionary. That's God puts it on somebody's heart to witness, that God uses a person. But so often, God did that in response to somebody's prayer. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, a God-fearing man, and he's praying, and God speaks to Peter. He gives him a revelation. He deals with his heart to change him so that he will go and minister the gospel to Cornelius' house. I'm telling you, prayer is what makes the difference. Oh, we need to pray for the sick. Pray for those with family problems. Pray for those with financial needs. Pray for those that have lost their job. Pray for those that are away from the Lord. Pray the Lord will send laborers into the field. Amen? Jesus said to pray it. Pray for the lukewarm Christian, the casual Christian. Pray for those in ministry, those in leadership. Pray for those that are in a battle. Pray for those who have made themselves the enemies of Christ. What's the answer? Pray for them. And sometimes, when you pray for them, tell them, "I prayed for you." You got to do it in the right heart. But if you do it because you love them, if you do it because you want to help them, you want to encourage them, it'll bless them. "I prayed for you." The Apostle Paul did this over and over in his letters. In fact, in some letters, there's actually more than one prayer, like in the book of Ephesians. There's more than one prayer that he wrote out what he prayed for them. Now, I want you to think about this. He didn't have to write out his prayers for them. He wanted them to know what he prayed for them. And sometimes you can just say, "I prayed for you." You know, when somebody's sick and you say, "I prayed for you," they probably know that you prayed for them to get well. But sometimes you need to tell people what you prayed because it will help them. It will strengthen their faith. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner, but he's concerned about the Ephesians. And he says, "I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Now, when he says faint not, that means don't give up. Don't get discouraged. You see, he's concerned about them getting discouraged and them giving up. And I say this frequently in our leadership training messages, but you know that you're starting to grow up spiritually when you're more concerned about others than you are yourself. As long as it is about you, you hadn't left baby stage yet. But when you start to mature and grow up, you become more concerned about others than your own self. But the Apostle Paul lets them know. He says, "I don't want you to be discouraged." He says in verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's letting them know, "I'm bowing my knees for you. I'm getting on my knees before God. Now, you know what? You don't have to get on your knees to pray, but when you get on your knees, it is a place of humility before God. It is a place of dependence upon God. And not just as a religious exercise, but I think when it really comes from the heart, that when you get on your knees, I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting in the easy chair with my feet up, sipping my coffee, well, that's one kind of praying, and that's a good kind of praying, right? I mean, driving in your car and praying is a good kind of praying. But there's something really serious when you get on your knees and you're really praying. You're not thinking about anything else. You're not relaxing. You are doing the business. You're getting in the warfare of prayer. Now, some people, I know you can get on your knees and fall asleep, but I'm just telling you, he was serious about his prayer for them, and he wanted them to know it. I bow my knees. He prayed for them that they would be strengthened in the inner man. He didn't pray for them that they wouldn't have any problems and all of their tribulation would all go away and everything would just be smooth sailing. No, he prayed for them that they would be strengthened in the inner man. And I'm just telling you, as we pray for people, oh, yes, we need to pray for their needs and their battle and whatever it might be, but we need to pray that they be strengthened on the inside. I see this over and over in the scripture, how that when we pray for people, don't just pray for their circumstance to change, pray for strength inside. Pray for courage, that they won't be discouraged. Pray for strength in the inner man. Listen to this. As always, Jesus is the best example. Amen? So, if Jesus did this, I think it's a good idea to do it. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, when you sift wheat, you shake it, and you shake out the grain from the chaff. And Jesus is referring to that Satan wants to shake him down, to destroy his faith, to prove that there's nothing real there. But Jesus says, but I have prayed for you. I prayed for you. Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you even know me. Listen, Jesus, the Son of God, who said what the Father gave him to say, he says to Simon Peter, I prayed for you. He thought it necessary to tell this man. Now, you know, Peter was often emotional and up and down, but he was a great man of God. He's the only one besides Jesus still that's ever been, at least far as we know, that's walked on water. And Peter's the one that preached on the day of Pentecost and thousands got saved. And this Peter, he had such a battle that Satan wanted to sift him like wheat. Much like Satan going to God and asking for permission to attack Job. But Jesus says, I've prayed for you that you won't have to go through any hard times. No, that's not what he prayed. Listen, you're not going to get your kids out of ever having any hard times. You're not going to get your kids, even if you homeschool them, you're not going to be able to totally shelter them and protect them from every evil thing in this world. But let me tell you what you can do. You can pray for them that their faith fail not, that Satan will not have his way, that they're going to be strong through the midst of it, that nothing is going to be able to stop them from serving God, living for God. Jesus knew that Peter is about to deny him. Can you imagine? And we know Jesus is the Son of God, but Peter is his friend, one of his closest followers. And he knows that Peter is going to deny him three times, deny that he even knew him. But he prayed for him. And you might feel like your loved ones let you down, or your brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ let you down. But you pray for them. You pray for them that their strength, that their faith won't fail. Do you know, I believe that Peter was such a key figure that Satan certainly wanted to mess him up. But the same enemy is after every one of us. And after your children, your teenagers. And he doesn't care if they're 6 or 12 or 15. The devil's mean. And the Bible says your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I'm not telling you this to scare you. I'm telling you this to say, we got to pray. There is a way. It's prayer. Prayer is what makes the difference. I would encourage you, if you have children, to tell them that you prayed for them pretty much on a daily basis. In fact, I think it's a good idea to tell them that you're going to be praying for them before they head out the door. I love this story. Thomas DeWitt Talmage, a famous preacher years ago, told how his grandparents attended a revival service under the ministry of Charles Finney. And as they returned home, they determined to pray for the salvation of their children. The children had been planning to go off for an evening of partying. So just before they left, Talmage's grandmother called her children to her room and she said, "Now I want you to know that while you're away, I'm going to be in this room praying for you the whole time for your salvation." Well, they went off to the party, but amidst all of the fun of the party, they were unable to forget what their mother had told them. Talmage said that the next day his grandparents heard someone crying in the adjoining room and found their daughter pleading with God to save her. And out in the barn, her brothers were experiencing a similar conviction. In the wagon house, their son David was praying to God for pardon and mercy. Before long, the whole family was saved and news began to spread. The whole region was stirred and many were converted. And I just want you to get this. If your kids are heading the wrong direction, don't let up on them. Just keep telling them, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." They may make faces and roll their eyes, and you just keep saying, "I'm praying for you." Now, you dads, I know when that boy comes to pick up your daughter and you give him that look like, "I will kill you," let me tell you what's even more effective. You tell your son, you tell your daughter, "Daddy's going to be praying for you." In fact, I think you ought to tell them tonight, those of you that have children and youth here in the building, on the way home, you're going to tell them, "I prayed for you in the service tonight." You know what that means? We're going to have to close here in just a minute with prayer. And those of you that have kids, you're going to pray for them because you're going to tell them on the way home, "I prayed for you." And you're going to start something tonight. You know, we have it really easy. The Apostle Paul, they had to have this special parchments and stuff that they wrote on. It was a really big deal and it was expensive. We have it so easy. Most of us now, we just pick up the cell phone and we text, "I'm praying for you." Sometimes a call is better. Sometimes a face-to-face But I'm encouraging you tonight, tell people that you're praying for them. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, when that neighbor that you don't like is trying to sell their house, you go over and you say, I'm praying that your house will sell really quick. No, that don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, but you can tell them, I'm praying for you that God will just cause this your move to go well and that things will work out the way they're supposed to. You just don't know what that might do, what door that might open. You just don't know what might start somebody's heart back the right direction. I can tell you this, a lot of times it was just some ugly criticism or gossip that somebody did that got them headed the wrong direction. But you just don't know what. It's a powerful thing because you're not only praying to God for them. Amen. By the way, don't forget, you know, there's a whole lot of lying that goes on in church. And one of the biggest is, I'll pray for you, and then they don't, right? So if you pray for people, number one, it's powerful because you've prayed. You've talked to God about it. But number two, it's powerful because you're encouraging them. You're letting them know that somebody has been lifting their name before the Lord. I want you to stand with me, and I'd like for you to just pray right now. And as I said, if you have children or young people here, pray for them. But the rest of you, pray for your spouse. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for your pastor. Pray for that person that's done you wrong. Maybe you got some Job's friends, some friends that let you down in the midst of a difficult time. Pray for them right now. You might be surprised what God will do on your behalf. But I encourage you to pray. Father, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I just thank you that I know that in this world, oh, they are the light of the world. They are light in a dark place. Lord, that they are the power of the Holy Spirit present in this world. Lord, that you are using them mightily. And I pray for them, Father, that you strengthen them in the inner man, that you strengthen them, Lord, in their faith, that their faith will not fail. And whatever battles and challenges come, Lord, they'll rise up and overcome in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that this message will not be forgotten. It'll not be let go in the name of Jesus, but it'll bring forth a great harvest in our lives, Lord, as we are faithful to do it. Lord, it's so simple. Help us, Lord, to not be deceived and let it go, but to be faithful to pray for others. And Father, I just thank you for the fruit that's coming, for a great harvest, for many, many, many changed lives in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. Amen. If you agree, say amen. Amen. I love you, Lord. Bless you.